News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, cloudy. I guess it was foggy earlier. If we had some fog, I think that's kind of burned away. But the clouds remain, and I think that's what we've got today with the chance of rain tonight and a pretty good chance of rain throughout tomorrow, which, of course, is Super Tuesday.
Yeah, so what will that mean for turnout? I guess we shall see, right? And we don't normally see great turnout for primaries. We were around 10, 12, 15, I can't remember, last time for the primaries, very, very low number. But with Trump on the ballot this time, and with that big race in AL1, at least in that district, you could probably see quite a bit of turnout. So who knows? We could play that guessing game if you want. How many people do you think will turn out for the vote tomorrow? But I think we'll get a pretty different number for both AL1 and AL2. Which is a new thing for us down here.
Yeah, you were showing me that map, and it again reoccurs to me. I should know this by heart by now. Obviously, we're like you and I are not even voting in District 1. We're in 2.
Right.
So our choices will be, if we're voting Democratic, we'll get to that in a minute. But if we're voting Republican, we've got the likes of Caroline Dobson, mm-hmm. and Brubaker.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and then a bunch of folks in AL2's Democrat race, too. More on that here in a little bit, yep. As we saw some sparks fly over the weekend.
We did.
I could send you this link. I know we talked about it some on Friday. But if you're unaware of which district you're in now that these maps have been redrawn, I've got a map where you can either put in your address or zoom all the way down. And it's just, it's so butchered. Looking at it again, you forget how crazy this looks. I mean, Grand Bay, Theodore, a heavy portion of Tillman's Corner, the Battleship, those are all in District 1.
District 1, Carl versus Moore.
So you have the Battleship in 1. Looks like the Africatown Bridge is in District 2. Everything basically west out to the airport is District 2. And then as you travel further north towards Sims, that District 2 moves all the way over to the Mississippi line. So Tanner Williams is in 1. Wilmer is in 2.
Wow.
How about this? Chunchula is in 2. Axis is in 1. It's just these communities that are so similar and so relatively close to each other,
yeah,
have now been split.
Yep.
And it's to get, a closer vote in 2, like they've made very clear. Citronelle is in 2. Mount Vernon, Saraland, 2. All of them are in 1.
Oh, Mount Vernon's in 1 and Citronelle's in 2?
Correct.
Wow.
So things look majorly different, and I can shoot you that link if you text us on the text line, and you could find out exactly where you're voting. But it's actually a little easier for folks who are in Baldwin County. You're in District 1, yep. No doubt about it. And that stretches, once you go north of Baldwin County, all the way over east through Andalusia Enterprise and Dothan to the Georgia line. And then just above that, District 2 stretches all the way to the Georgia line, all the way to Eufaula and encompasses Montgomery. Troy is in District 2. So we're looking at a majorly different race than we've seen at any point. And I think Albritton said it on Friday that who knows if this will even stand. But this is the election as it stands now. The Supreme Court might come back and say, hey, that was totally illegal the way that these were gerrymandered, not just in Alabama, but several other states did the same
North
exact
Carolina,
thing.
North Carolina, I know, yeah.
Uh-huh. And, but I think we would have to wait until the next census for things to change once again. But that's how things stand
now. That's 2030?
I think so, wow. Yeah. But until then, this is how things lie. And I thought this was noteworthy as well. Last week when it was announced that Katie Britt would be providing the Republican response to the State of the Union Thursday night.
Yes.
We knew that was a big deal. And with Mitch McConnell announcing he's leaving his post after his term's up this year, there's a lot of discussion about what Republican would take his seat as the Senate leader for the Republicans, whether it ends up being majority leader after this midterms or, after this election, or whether it ends up being Senate minority leader. Someone floated Katie Britt's name. I don't know that that's a real possibility for that particular position.
Pretty quick.
She's a freshman senator.
Yeah, yeah.
It usually takes years and years and years of shaking the right hands and talking to the right people and putting yourself in that position. But there might be another more notorious position on the line for Katie Britt. and more discussion about her possibly being Trump's VP pick. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I have. I've also heard editorially some saying, wow, that'd be great, and some saying, wow, that'd be treacherous, maybe, attached to Trump in that way.
It would certainly be a risk, right? Things with a number of folks who have worked with Trump or for Trump have turned south, some of them rather quickly. I mean, you think of how former Attorney General Jeff Sessions, I didn't think that it was possible for their relationship to get as bad as it did, but it clearly did.
It did, yeah.
Mike Pence was his vice president for 4 years.
That turned bad.
I don't think they're on speaking terms.
Well, that turned bad one day in January a few years ago.
So is it worth the risk? I would say, hell yeah, it's worth the risk. You would be potentially vice president. Things are looking like
that. Potentially president.
Potentially president down the line, yeah. And a lot of this discussion, well, it began a while back, but Trump was on Hannity on Thursday night, and this was an interview from the border when another topic came up, something that Trump spoke about pretty quickly after the Alabama Supreme Court ruled on IVF.
Yeah.
And nationally, this story's been, I don't know if blown out of proportion is the right way to say it, but kind of mischaracterized in a lot of ways. Well, this was a civil ruling, right? This wasn't a criminal ruling, and it all had to do with the wording that the Alabama legislature had put on what constitutes a life. And for some reason, when it came to in vitro fertilization, and I don't know the specifics of all these things, but when the embryo is not in the female's body, civilly, they were leaving that up to a penalty for anyone. They were basically treating it as a life for civil penalties,
right?
Not criminal penalties, which is what it seems the nation is kind of pointing to. But Trump, I think on the heels of the 2022 midterms, when that Roe v. Wade ruling came out before the midterms.
And remember, the rumor leaked out or before it came out.
Yeah, the leak came out. Then the decision came out, and then the Republicans had a rough midterm.
Yep.
And a lot of people pointed the finger at that ruling coming down when it did.
Right.
Trump certainly believes that's the case, and I think he tried to get ahead of this IVF thing and immediately put out a statement saying that they need to fix this. Well, he was on Hannity speaking about that on Thursday night, and who came up in the conversation? Well, none other than Katie Britt, who's delivering the rebuttal to the State of the Union. Here's Trump on Hannity.
You took a strong stand on IVF. Where are you on that, and what is your message to other candidates, and where are you on abortion?
So I saw the IVF, and a judge in Alabama made a very harsh decision. It was very, very tough. And I came out immediately, and I said, we want to help women. This is fertilization. This is they're having a hard time having a baby, to put it very simply. And they're helped by clinics and others. And all of a sudden, it was stopped in Alabama. And I put out a very strong statement that we're totally in favor of it. I got a call from Katie Britt, a very wonderful young senator in Alabama. And she said friends of mine were coming up and, like, almost attacking her. They were so upset about it. And I said, what's the issue? What is it? Explain. What is it exactly? And we're talking about the IVF. And I said, we want that. We want people to help. We're on the side of women.
So Katie Britt called Trump to let him know, hey, things are getting fixed in Alabama as far as this is concerned. You know, the legislature's doing this and that. And they did in both houses, in the House and the Senate last week, pass IVF bills. So Trump mentions Katie Britt there. We know that she's going to do the State of the Union rebuttal on Thursday night. And then you had former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who went on this radio show, which gets a lot of quotes, the Cats Roundtable out of New York. He said, Senator Britt, who is the new freshman senator from Alabama, and who some very smart people believe will be Trump's vice presidential pick, she has her big audition night because she's going to deliver the response to Biden. Gingrich said it'll be interesting to see if Britt rises to the occasion. If she does, it will be a major step up in her potentially being Trump's vice presidential candidate. And, of course, there's been a lot of women whose names have been floated as the possible VP nomination. Stefanik's one of them. Nikki Haley, of course, has been mentioned, although I don't think the odds of that are very good. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. We've seen Noem's name mentioned. Arkansas Governor Sarah Sanders. And then Katie Britt now being floated here. I think it's notable that Newt Gingrich said, I quote again, some very smart people believe she will be Trump's vice presidential pick.
Gee whiz. Wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of, it's accelerated pretty quickly.
A couple of things there, Dalton. Number one, Trump being on Hannity, it's been a while, hasn't it?
I think he goes on, he has to go on at least once a month.
Okay.
Yeah, he goes on Hannity quite a bit.
Okay.
And he'll actually be on PAGS tonight. So if you want to listen to Joe PAGS right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Hear him live.
9 to midnight tonight, Trump will be on, yeah.
And also he said a judge in Alabama was actually the Supreme Court, correct?
Mm, correct. That,
okay, okay. And now as far as Katie Britt, man, talking about an acceleration of your career, that would be something. Mm-hmm. I mean, freshman senator, well-liked, certainly, seems to be well-respected. She says what she means, I think. She obviously is conservative. She represents, she's the only mother in the Senate with school-age kids, I believe, right?
Which would be a major factor, right?
Yeah.
If he's looking to pull that suburban female vote, I think Katie Britt would do as good a job of that as anyone he could possibly name.
She doesn't seem like a moderate, really. She's a moderate Republican. I think she's more of a, I think she could probably play whatever she needs to play to make sure some votes are counted in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
But she seems to have her principles and says what she thinks. And not everybody, there's a lot of women in suburban areas right outside of cities who probably lean Democrat, especially as you get further north from here. So mm-hmm. I don't know that Britt can save that vote as far as that goes. What do you think?
She might be able to pull a lot of it. You look at some of these major cities where immigration has become the number one thing.
Yeah.
She's going to be able to say, what about our children? What mm-hmm. about my children, my school-age children? And I saw a great post on Twitter, and it was actually, I think, Elon Musk who retweeted it, and there was this lady in Colorado, retired, and she was laying out how, just in Denver alone, the immigration problem, how much is going to cost the city, and how much in their efforts to feed and support illegal immigrants, how much they are screwing the people who have lived and worked in Denver their entire lives. If Katie Britt can get that message across, I think she could pick up a lot of that suburban female vote who may even usually vote Democrat. But I think it would be a big play. Now, on the other side, like you've kind of referenced there, is it worth it? Is the risk worth it?
For her personally.
She's young.
Yep.
She's a freshman senator. Seems like she'd be going places regardless.
It seems like she is going to end up in a very powerful place one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So is would Trump's would his invitation be too big and almost insulting to turn down? And maybe a lot of this is going to be done behind the scenes anyway, but it will be interesting to see which if she's offered it and if she decides to take it. But she's on her way up regardless. This would, again, just be this incredible acceleration mm-hmm. of her political career.
And, yeah, like you said, if she does become VP, if Trump wins the nomination and she's his pick, then 4 years from now, you're looking at a 2028 election, which would be, she would have to be the at least leading favorite at the beginning of his term mm-hmm. to be that nomination. But Trump's not young, and he is facing a ton of things from a number of different fronts. It wouldn't be the most surprising thing if he was unable to finish his term either. And so could we be looking at this is very, very accelerated timeline, but a president, Katie Britt. But
it's not that accelerated if it happens. If Trump says, hey, Katie, and you see the way he talked about her, listen to those words when he was describing her.
Mm-hmm.
Glowing, correct? Now we know the tables can turn. It's Donald Trump. She's got a lot to consider right now, right?
No doubt. And it starts with making sure that speech is on point on Thursday
yep.
night.
I think she'll do that well. 821 FM Talk 106.5. We've got to take a look into the controversy in District 2 you may not know about. Can you imagine that the Republicans, like Republicans who maneuver behind the scenes, are interested in a Democrat winning District 2 rather than when the Republicans like Dobson or like
Brubaker
and on and on and go, all Britain, Joe Reed, he's a longtime Democratic Party power broker up in Montgomery, father of Montgomery Mayor Stephen Reed. He says, according, this is from 1819 News. So according to a letter obtained by 1819 News on Saturday that was sent from Reed to the Alabama Democratic Party chairman, Randy Kelly, he claims that two articles that he said revealed very disturbing facts that showed a Republican attempt to buy the second congressional seat, but not for a Republican. You think, what? He said, according to reports, Project Progress, it's a conservative group, has donated $1.7 million to what Republican? No, Shamari Figures. Shamari Figures, that's alone. The other candidate, Anthony Daniels, the current Democratic minority leader in the Alabama House of Representatives, has received untold amounts of dollars from other Republicans. Reed cited the party's bylaws and asked that the Alabama Democratic Party consider if Daniels and Figures should be allowed to become the nominee, implying that the party could disregard this vote this week, disregard the vote itself. Daniels did respond. He said, bless their hearts, I'm not going to waste 1 ounce of my time on their desperate attempt to distract voters before Tuesday's election. Instead, I'm focusing my attention on winning this race. So there's the maybe one of the leading Democrats in for District 2. But the assertion
is that Republicans are trying to boost Figures to the nomination.
Figures to the nomination. And you know that his mother has always been business friendly with the business people of Mobile, and she's always been continued to get elected. I guess there's truth to this, but
Two things here. I just looked them up. I think it's Project Progress. So I think Reed has the name wrong.
Okay.
To start with.
Project Progress.
He said Project Progress.
Right, it's Protect Progress.
When I look up on Open Secrets, it's Project Progress. And is that a
conservative group?
Well, according to Open Secrets, it says their viewpoint is liberal. So they're a super PAC here, and it's so tough to find where this money comes from. You have these major donors who then split into all of these different PACs,
yeah.
And apparently Protect Progress, the only candidate they have donated to is Figures.
And the name would imply that it's, progress.
Liberal.
Progressive.
Yeah, Protect Progress.
So why is he asserting that they are a conservative group? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he wants to get Daniels and Figures out of the way. His guy's also a Mobilian.
Bracy,
that's who he's backing.
And Bracy, there was an AL2, I guess you could call it a forum, in Mobile last week. This was put on by the communists at the Southern Poverty Law Center. They said Bracy didn't RSVP in time. So you had a very awkward situation where Napoleon Bracy was sitting to the side of the stage while the other candidates were up there participating in the forum.
He was there.
He just didn't RSVP in time. I think we've all been there. You just show up to the party anyway, right?
Of course you do. 830 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings. We'll look over some texts on the way.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Coming to the text line here in just a minute. 251-343-0106 if you want to get involved. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Beginning of a new month here, and you got a lot of vehicles on the lot at McConnell.
That's right. We have got a bunch, and we're trading in a bunch. We're buying a lot of stuff. We got on the used car side, we just traded in a 24 Denali Ultimate, and everybody loves this thing. Gene drove it over the weekend and said, I got to get out of this thing, or I want to buy this thing. It's so nice. Massaging seats and everything. We've got a 24 three-quarter ton AT4 out front, the used car department. We've got a couple of Tahoes. We have those certified. We've got a couple of Yukons. I mean, we've got some inventory. You ought to check that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We're going to be here all day. Looks like it's going to be a warm day. So we'll sell a few cars. We got a great selection of new, too. So got it all right here.
You sure do, and you make it easy for the customer. I know that for a fact. We appreciate your time, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all.
Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
836 with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, and going to the text line, we were talking about Katie Britt and this acceleration in her political career, in her life, really, if Trump were to ask her to be his vice presidential
nominee
and partner. Normally, this is an unnamed texter. Normally, from what I've seen, if someone progresses fast, they usually fall fast. I don't know if that's a fact or not, but that's the opinion of that unnamed texter right there. And let's see here. There was one other text I was going to get to. Maybe this is, this was kind of curious. If Trump chooses Katie Britt as VP, as much as I want to elect him, I could not vote for him. So that's somebody who obviously an Alabama conservative, I would guess, because he wants Trump, but he's not a fan of Britt.
It's interesting that that would be the deal breaker, but there are a lot of folks who think that Katie Britt, following in the footsteps of Senator Shelby, who many painted as a rhino, and, Shelby came from a different time, right? Yeah. I mean, he was in office for decades. He was a Democrat to start with.
If he's a rhino, he's the greatest rhino ever. If a rhino is somebody that makes deals and brings home the money.
He brought a lot.
I mean, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. And I invite you to go out to the University of South Alabama and actually walk into that building right on the corner.
Is it
there.
Shelby Hall?
Shelby Hall. It is high dollar, absolutely architecturally beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, that's part of what he did.
Yeah. Nothing like what Mobile Mornings Hall will look like in the future. But
you never know.
I think he has a few things named after him in Tuscaloosa as well. So he's brought the bacon back. And that's become a major issue in the AL1 congressional race. We've got a text on that I'll get to here in just a minute. Jason texted in and said, good morning, guys. Did y'all hear Kamala Harris and Selma calling for a ceasefire in Gaza as she stood in front of dilapidated, crime-filled downtown Selma? He said she should have called for a ceasefire in Selma. She's completely disconnected from reality.
That was in Selma, but it was a national opportunity. She knew that was going to be on the national news. I get what you're saying. It is ironic.
It is every year, right? That Selma march across the bridge. You had Merrick Garland there telling everyone their voting rights are under assault.
Yeah.
How long is that going to work, that line? Apparently, it works for a lot of people.
You see it, and if you're not a real astute viewer of the news and of the parties and of a politics, you might buy it, and mm-hmm. that's the way it works, because on the CBS Evening News, ABC, whatever, there was interesting last night. We might be able to get to it. Some fireworks on 60 Minutes about the border yesterday.
This texter says, as much as I appreciate your station having the opponents on, I'll be so glad when tomorrow's over. The ugly ads make me so confused. It sounds like they're all corrupt. I was thinking, if you just based your vote off of the ads, you wouldn't vote for anyone, right? Because so many of them are dirty. Now, the AL2 Republican race has not gone that way at all.
No,
been a single bit of mud slung, as far as I can tell.
Do you think? I don't think that there are any, maybe, but I don't think these ads, any of them are PACT generated. I think
all from the candidates.
All from the candidates is what I'm thinking.
You're right.
That might be why it hadn't been so nasty.
Yeah, I haven't seen many PAC ads.
What do they care? The PAC, they don't care.
they're waiting to see.
It's like a car wreck and they get out and they walk away.
You'll see the money fly in. We've talked about it. You're going to see money from all over come in right about Wednesday in that AL2 race on both the Democrat and Republican side, because that could decide the House mm-hmm. in 2024.
Yes.
Rock and Roll Doctor says, I see where Lanyap is supporting Jerry Mouse. I think he's calling Jerry Carl Jerry Mouse because of his efforts to, what was it, the Beach Mouse he was talking about saving down there?
Yes.
Because he'll continue to bring home the bacon, which Rock and Roll Doctor says we can't afford, to Airbus, he says a French company, and Austal, a Australian company. More reason to support Barry Moore, because our taxpayer money shouldn't be spent on foreign national companies. Now, I will argue, Rock and Roll Doctor, that they are owned by international companies. That's right. But I don't know a single Frenchman or Australian that works at Airbus or Austal. Yeah. Everyone I know is from here.
I'm glad they're here. We're all kind of glad they are here. What the future is, I don't know, but we wouldn't know if it was an American company what their future would be anyway, but they seem to be on the uptick and the upswing, and I'm glad they're here.
A lot of businesses in Mobile and Baldwin counties are very glad they're here too, because they wouldn't be here without that extra the extra money coming in. Let's see. Rebecca asks, tell us what you know about the proposed statewide amendment. There's going to be a There's going to be an amendment on the ballot. It's proposed statewide amendment number one, and the wording for this, it says proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama to amend a certain section, authorizing the legislature to sign and transmit local laws or constitutional amendments before the transmission of basic appropriations. Now, the way I understand this amendment is there are a lot of things that municipalities, cities, that they're trying to get done, and they have to get it done through the Alabama legislature. But these certain things can't be looked at until the annual fiscal budget has been approved.
Okay.
And in the state legislature, that's like the big Megillah every year, right? And they fight and fight and fight over that budget and the appropriations. So a yes on this would mean cities, municipalities, they would have an easier time getting through things in the legislative session before time runs out because of the budget.
Yeah.
That's the way I understand it. Jeff Poore may be able to describe it a little bit better than I.
He's got a lot to say, and he's on the way.
Yeah, he'll be up after us. Coming up next, Lacey Smith with Tobias and Comer Law and Law 251 right here on Mobile Mornings.
Welcome back, Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. And right now, time for another edition of Law 251 with Tobias and Comer Law. And I'm very excited to have Lacey Smith in with us today. And first time we're having a one-on-one conversation. I know you've come in with Brian previously, Brian Comer, of course. And I've seen Desi Tobias plenty of times. But first time we're one-on-one this morning. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you. It's my first solo act here. So yeah. Nice to be here.
So for the folks, you know, they've gotten to know Brian and Desi pretty well over the last few years. And just tell a little bit about yourself for folks to know before we get into our conversation today.
Sure. Again, my name is Lacey Smith. I'm a Mobile native, born and raised here. I'm married to my husband, Glenn, who's also an attorney on the other side of the law. Myself, I was an insurance defense attorney for 15 years before I joined Tobias & Comer back in October of 2022. And so it's been an interesting and good switch for hopefully all of us, but especially for me. I've definitely enjoyed doing a different side of the law, representing injured clients, and it's, hopefully it's been helpful kind of to have my perspective from having done the other side of things for so long. But I've also got two little boys. They keep us very busy.
Oh, yeah.
I was just telling Jennifer on the way here that we'll be living at Municipal Park for the next couple of months. So, yeah, mom, lawyer, and that's about it.
So they're already into ball? They're playing? Or
spring ball is starting.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that means, you know, we'll just be picking up dinner from McDonald's and Pizza Hut and whatnot for the next couple of months, but they love it. So
that's fantastic. Very cool. Well, and I know you must have compassion and you must love what you do. I've talked with Desi and Brian, and it comes clearly through them when I talk to them how much they care about their clients and this community. And clearly the community means a lot to you too, being from here.
Sure. Yeah. We, it's definitely very rewarding to be on the side of injured people, pursuing justice for them and helping them recover from their injuries. I feel very fortunate to be able to be back at home and practice in my hometown community.
Well, and you know, a lot of the times, a lot of the stories we see and a lot of the cases you've worked are cases that are preventable and sure. Things that don't need to happen. And one of those is drunk driving. And I know we discussed this, but St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always another something on the calendar where that might be part of it. But St. Patrick's Day certainly is. And it was interesting. We were discussing that everyone knows drunk driving's bad. Right. Everyone knows buzzed driving is bad, but it still happens. It keeps happening out there. And it's really important that people know that even if you don't think you're drunk, you might think
sure.
You're buzzed. Oh, fine. I can drive home. It's not that far. But we've seen time and time again, and you more than anyone, that that's not always the case.
Right. And like you said, you kind of, sometimes it's easy to disregard these messages that we hear over and over again, growing up, like, you know, buckle up for safety. Don't drink and drive. And that's what we're focusing on here today, is definitely the buzz driving or drinking and driving. Like you said, St. Patrick's Day is coming up. I know we just finished the 3-week party that is Mardi Gras, but St. Patrick's Day is just around the corner. And statistics show that it is habitually one of the deadliest driving days throughout our country. So we would consider St. Patrick's Day, the holiday period, to be March 16th through the 18th. And from 2017 to 2021, 272 lives were lost on the roads as a result of drunk driving incidents in connection with St. Patrick's Day. And in 2021 alone, there was 47 people killed in drunk driving crashes. So, you know, year after year, we still see the same thing happening, even though the message is getting out there and everyone knows in their heart and in their rational mind that drunk driving is a bad thing, but it still continues to happen. And, you know, part of drinking alcohol and being overserved is, you know, your inhibitions kind of drop, your judgment is impaired. And so getting behind the wheel in that situation is the first step. Mm-hmm. And it's the first, you know, poor decision you can make in terms of having too much to drink and getting behind the wheel of a car.
And at the website, TobiasComerLaw.com, plenty of great resources on there covering a host of things. I mean, I can't even get to all of it in one sitting. But one of the things that you covered pretty thoroughly is about DUIs and really on both ends, how to not be that driver. And also what to do in the unfortunate instance that you're on the other end of that. You're somebody who's legally, who's abiding by the law.
Right.
And you end up in this terrible, terrible situation caused by someone else who probably previously was said, I'd never be a drunk driver. Right. How could anyone go out and do that? It ends up happening to people anyway. But one of the great resources you have is what to know about DUI accidents. And you have that listed there. And one of the things, and it's the number one thing that I'm sure is most overlooked, is intoxicated drivers. There's a reason it's illegal. It's because your vision's bad, your judgment's bad. And then it all stacks up and kind of falls like dominoes.
Sure. And, you know, your reaction time is impaired or slowed. So there's just a host of factors that go into making someone a true danger if they've had too much to drink and they get behind the wheel of a car. You know, I think we've also all heard stories. It's not unusual for the drunk driver to just walk away from these collisions. Mm. You know, their body is relaxed and, you know, a lot of times they don't brace the way that someone who's getting impacted by them might, you know, their reactions are going to be to brace. And so a lot of the times you can have, you know, broken bones, soft tissue injuries, but even traumatic brain injuries. A lot of times you do see that there's a disparate harm between the person who's driving versus the person that gets hit out of nowhere. The other thing people might want to consider in making better choices is that, you know, in Alabama law, you can get punitive damages or you can recover punitive damages in the case that you're hit by a drunk driver because it's for a claim called wantonness. So that means wanton conduct is something that's undertaken with a reckless disregard of the safety of others. And certainly many juries have found and the courts have found that driving while you're intoxicated qualifies with that for that reckless disregard. So, you know, certainly if someone is hurt in an accident, they need to see a lawyer. And especially when the accident involves someone who is impaired behind the wheel.
And to see a lawyer that really knows the ins and outs of these kinds of cases, like you mentioned there, there's levels to it. And can you explain to me the dram shop law? It's something that's come up previously and how that ties into some of these cases.
Sure. So the dram shop law essentially is that restaurants and bars and other places have, or even private homeowners in some cases, have a duty to not knowingly serve more alcohol to someone who's already visibly intoxicated. So particularly this falls on usually actions against restaurants and bars and whatnot, but they, in serving alcohol, undertake a duty to make sure that they're doing so safely. And part of that is to know when to cut somebody off because, you know, there's times when the person sitting at the bar that isn't ready to stop or go home or anything like that. So it's incumbent on the premises owner to make sure that they take step in and say, you know, no more for you. We're going to going to cut you off or have a water or whatnot. So Dram Shop Act is essentially, even if the drunk person, you know, it's where were they overserved, and you can pursue a claim against the owner of that premises.
And that's something I did not know until I started talking with you and Desi and Brian. And also, when you're the victim in something like this, if it happens to you, you're in an accident, obviously, if you're injured or otherwise, you know, unconscious, have to be taken to the hospital or whatever, you've got to do what you've got to do. How long after that should someone reach out to a firm like Tobias and Comer Law to get you guys started? The earlier, the better, I would imagine.
Sure. Because, you know, ultimately you have 2 years from the date of the accident to file a lawsuit if you want to pursue an action in court. But as with anything, all the facts are going to be fresher on everybody's mind shortly after the accident. And that initial information gathering that happens within the weeks following the accident is really critical because, you know, we take it upon ourselves to be proactive, go out there. You want to find the witnesses. You want to get their statements because, you know, people fall off the map or whatnot. So you want to go out there and get all those facts and evidence while it's still fresh out there.
And I think the most important thing I'm sure we want everyone to take from this conversation is, it could be you. You might be the same person that's out there saying, oh, who would ever drunk and drive, you know, straight to jail for you. But those same people, they end up having a drink or two and they think they're fine and they end up in this exact situation. So buzz driving is drunk driving. I know we see it on the PSAs and everything like that. But especially St. Patrick's Day, those stats you laid out to me, that's unbelievable. One day, one, just the 2021, 47 died in drunk driving accidents. And then over 4 years, 272. And it's entirely preventable.
It's entirely preventable, just with better decision making. You know, and pre-planning goes to it as well. I mean, you can go ahead and you can download your Uber or your Lyft app, appoint a designated driver amongst your friends group. And just knowing yourself and knowing your limits is really important.
Some great information there, Lacey. So glad you were able to come in this morning and see us. And the website, I want to point people towards that once again, tobiascomerlaw.com, because it's full of great information, but also the free consultation. So that's 24/7, right?
And that's right.
Phone number's on the site. I'm looking at it right now, 251-432-5001. But you'll find it if you go to TobiasComerLaw.com as well. Lacey, thanks again for coming in today.
Thank you for having me, Dalton. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Lacey Smith with Tobias and Comer Law on another edition of Law 251. And coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show on the way next.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.